sympathy, where have you gone? I'm getting old and I need something to rely on.
Welcome to Mondays with Millie, a podcast about the past with real relevance to the present day. I'm your host, Phil Christopharo, and in this podcast series, I interview my 90-year-old mother-in-law, Doreen, who I affectionately call Millie, about her ordinary life and the extraordinary events which influenced it. Millie has witnessed firsthand some incredible things across 10 decades. This is a personal history which gives us some perspective about life's triumphs and challenges.
Oh, simple thing, where have you gone? I'm getting old and I need something to rely on. So tell me now, when you're gonna begin? I'm getting tired and I need somewhere to begin. And if you have a minute, why don't we go talk about it somewhere only we know? This could be the end of everything, so why don't we go somewhere only we know? Somewhere only we know.
Season number 9 of Mondays with Millie. In episode 1, we talk about Millie's mates. You have probably worked out by now that Millie's never had any trouble making solid friendships. Her zest for life is fueled by those closest to her. Please enjoy this episode of Mondays with Millie. Hello, everybody, and welcome to season number 9. Can't believe that we're here for season 9, but we are. Season 9 of Mondays with Millie. I'm your host, Phil, and with me is the lovely Millie. I mean, there's not much else to it, is there, really? Now, Millie, before we get started today, I posted an interesting photograph on the Mondays with Millie Facebook page, which is quite intriguing. Now, Kirsten and I were talking about it. It's a photograph of Blackpool Beach in the late 1930s, right? And it's taken from an air. It must have been taken from an aeroplane because it's quite very high up. And the beach is, it's like, there are people everywhere. That's like they must be packed onto the beach like sardines. And it's an amazing photograph. In all the years we've been going to Blackpool, I've never seen crowds like it. It's absolutely incredible. What's the story behind that? I mean, is it a case that Blackpool, as you remember it as a child, was just the most popular place to go, and that it's kind of died off a bit? What's the story there?
Yeah, well, we used to spend a lot of holidays in Wales, but I know I found an old photograph not long ago of the three of us, my brother Terry and sister Dorothy and I, with our buckets and spades on Blackpool Beach. That must have been, from the looks of me, about 1933 or 34. And it was very, very busy. And I know we for those who remember Gracie Fields, she made a film in Blackpool one summer in the early 30s. And we were in it as a whole family in the crowd. And what they did, they came round, apparently my father told me, came round the beach in the morning and said, and gave people a ticket and said, do you want to be in a film? Do you want to be a film extra? So my mum and dad said, yes, you know, right, well, be at the Pleasure Beach at such and such a time. And they had Gracie Fields dashing through the Pleasure Beach singing, Sing As We Go. Sing As We Go and Let the World Go By, you know. Thing, but that's how it went. With this crowd following her, and we were in it with mum, well, dad pushing Dorothy and I in this double push chair, and Terry and my mum dashing along. So that was, I don't remember that at all, actually. I do remember a lot of things, but I don't remember that. The crowd must have been too much for me.
What was the name of the film?
I can't remember what it was.
Well, we can.
I know that she was singing Sing As We Go and Let the World Go By.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll do a little bit of homework on that one. We'll see if we can find out exactly what it was.
That would be interesting.
Yeah.
That would be interesting. So, but yes, it was very popular. And I know, especially during the war as well, which was when I remember it mostly. And Central Station was open then, of course, and the trains used to come in. That was a terminal, I should say. We had another station at North Shore, which is still open. But, of course, Central Station closed down, I think it was in the 60s. And all along the road at the side of the station, going way, way back, they used to queue up there for the trains ready to go home, because there wasn't room for them all on the platform. Hundreds and hundreds of them. And all these trains would be lined up. And it was the same when they came in. They'd just pour out of the station. And, of course, nearby were lots of little small hotels and bed and breakfast places, you know. They used to do a roaring trade. And a lot of them, if they weren't full of guests, if they hadn't got bookings, they usually hired some young boy who had a wooden cart, and you'd see all these boys with wooden carts lined up, ready to carry your luggage for you and take you to a hotel wherever you were going.
Oh, really?
Yes. They used to make quite a lot of money at weekends doing that. Mm.
Kirsten spotted...
Of a time sort of thing, you know.
Yeah. Well, Kirsten spotted a thing in this photograph that looked like a horse and cart thing, and they used to, Kirsten said, oh yeah, they used to put the bathing
box. The land door.
What did they call it?
A land door, L-A-N-D-A-U, land door.
Okay.
And they have these open carriages, and some of them, they could cover them up as well, but there's no open carriages, and you could ride along the promenade. Horse-drawn, of course, ride the full length of the promenade, and they charge you so much for it, yes.
No, these were horses and carts that would take the bathing boxes out into the water.
Oh, that's early still. Well, that's before the 1930s. That would be sometime up to the 20s. I think they disappeared long before, in the early 30s anyway. They had these bathing machines. They were like, as you say, wooden boxes with steps going up them. And the horses would drag them out into the water. And then the ladies would go in the boxes and change well, they change, they go in the boxes before they pull them out to the water. They change into their swim costumes, then they could swim, and then go back into the boxes and change their clothes again. And the horses would come and pull them back onto the beach.
That seems that seems bizarre to me.
It does, yeah.
For what purpose?
And those were the days, of course, when ladies wore long bathing costumes and the tops came down to the knees. Mm. They were like a short frock, came down to the knees. And they didn't have shoulder straps. They had proper, they were like a sleeveless T-shirt that came down to the knees. And then they'd have long bloomers on underneath to cover their legs up.
And this,
they usually finished just above the knees, the trousers. Mm.
And this was all for modesty, all in the interest
and
of
modesty.
Right.
Yes, of course, yes.
Wow.
That went out in the 1920s. Mm.
Well, then that photograph, I got it off the History of Blackpool Facebook page, and somebody had said that it was a late 1930s before the war, but Kirsten said, oh, look, there are those carriages with the bathing boxes. And she, I think she Googled it and said, oh, yeah.
There weren't any of those around in the 30s, definitely.
Ah.
No, that's, definitely not. It's before that.
Yeah, right. Okay. I'm going to do a little bit of correcting on the history of Blackpool Facebook page. I'm going to go in there and sound like an expert. I know somebody who knows the answer. And let's get your dates right. I want to talk a little bit about your friends and your friendship group. Now you've got a quite a good circle of friends through your local church group. Tell us about them.
Well, of course, the church I go to is the Unitarian Church in Ansdell, and neither John nor I were Unitarians, but we started going there when John was the president of the Yorkshire Association, local, and once a year they had a special service for the Yorkshire Association. It's been going on for years. So that's how we first came to know about the Unitarian Church. And we liked the minister so much, the Reverend Smith. He was lovely. Unfortunately, he's died now. And he used to play his guitar, and he was a real character, you know. And so then we started going, you see, on Sundays instead of just once a year. And that's, well, a long time ago. Let me see. It must be about 27 years ago, something like that.
Oh, it's been that long. Wow.
And oh, yes. Well, I've been retired 25 years. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I retired at 65, so I've been retired 25 years. Mm. And it was long before that. So, yeah, I should say about 27, 28 years ago. And I became secretary of the church for a number of years. And after that, I handed that over to someone else, and I couldn't escape. They made me chairman then of the trustees. So I'm still chairman of the trustees, you know. Doesn't mean anything really. It's just a figurehead. But it's a lovely church. Unfortunately, we don't have many coming now. I suppose because we don't have any young people. We've no youngsters coming. It used to be thriving. I mean, when we first joined, we used to get about 60 people every Sunday. And then half of them left and went to the church in Blackpool, which was down to 3 members. So they joined the Blackpool one to keep that going, you see. And of course, we didn't recover after that. But anyway, we get about 18 to 20 people on a Sunday. So we're still plodding on. But there's some lovely people going. This last year, I lost my best friend, Nancy. Now, she was born a Unitarian. but she was the loveliest person and a great loss to us because she was motherly you could go and tell her anything if you were in trouble. You know, you'd go and tell Nancy. She'd sort you out mentally, let's put it that way. So I miss Nancy. She was 96. But you would never think it. She had a very youthful outlook, you know.
Mm.
But then I'm very lucky because I have Alison. Alison comes and she comes in for 2 hours on a Monday and 2 hours on a Thursday and then another hour on a Friday when she does my shopping for me. She's lovely. She really is. She's not a cleaner. She came as a cleaner, but she's more than a cleaner. She's a real Mary Poppins. Hmm. You know what I mean? I think about something that needs doing and she's done it before I can even mention it, you know. And she'll say to me, oh, such and such a thing needs doing, or you're pretty low for, you know, such and such a thing. Now, you know, I'm very fond of, in fact, I'm a bit hooked on sweets, Werther's sweets, you see. And Werther's makes some lovely sweets with soft caramel centres. And she usually brings me 2 packets at a time. So this week I said to her, oh, I need some more Werther's. And she went, well, I brought you 2 packets last week. In other words, telling me you're eating too many. And I said, oh no, well, I gave one of them away. I gave one of them to Paul when he was going home. So she keeps her eye on me like a mother, really.
So,
you know?
So that's true. You were telling the truth. You did give a packet away. You didn't just eat that and tell her that story so that she'd start bringing you more.
Absolutely true. So yesterday she brought me 2 more packets and she said, these have got to last you 2 weeks. And then she's got 2 lovely little dogs. They're half brothers. One of them she got last year, that's Chester. And then she got his brother Bertie this year. And they're blue roan spaniels. They're really lovely little dogs. Big ears, long ears, you know, and a long fluffy tail that waggles backwards and forwards. She brought Bertie round the other day and I think he's about probably 4 months old now, if that. Just a pup, you know, but very intelligent. And he was all over the place, sniffing around because of Paul's last week. I had four of Paul's dogs here visiting me. So even though the place has been cleaned properly, there must be some scent, I think, around somewhere. But the dog was very interested. And then, of course, another best friend is Jenny next door. Jenny's lovely. She just pops it. In fact, Jenny's a bit like him. Well, I won't say she's a spy, but she knows everything that's going on because she knows what time I get up. Because my bedroom is next to her bedroom at the back. And if I'm late getting up, she'll call out, are you all right, Doreen? You know, because she looks for my window opening. And if my window hasn't been opened in the morning, which I do first thing, and my curtain's drawn back, you know, she wants to know why.
Oh, and fair enough too. I mean, you know.
Absolutely. She's wonderful, really. Yeah, so she's number one on my lifeline thing. You know, I have this lifeline button that I can press for emergencies. So she's number one on it because she's the nearest, you see. And she has a little dog called Sally, a little white cairn terrier. And she's lovely too. She comes in and she'll have a sniff around. Sally's very good, really, because she tells me if I'm getting post. You see, she barks when the postman comes at my path. So I know then that there's mail for me in the hall. So, yeah.
I walked across an empty land. I knew the pathway like the back. gone. I'm getting old and I need something to rely on. So tell me when you're gonna let me in. I'm getting tired and I need somewhere to begin. I came across a fallen tree. I felt the branches of it looking at me. Is this the place we used to love? Is this the place that I've been dreaming of? Oh, simple thing, where have you gone? I'm getting old and I need something to rely on. So tell me now, when you're gonna begin? I'm getting tired and somewhere to begin. And if you have a minute, why don't we go talk about it somewhere only we know? This could be the end of everything. So why don't we go somewhere only we know? Somewhere only we know. Simple thing, where have you gone? I'm getting old and I need something to rely on. So tell me when you're gonna let me in. I'm getting tired and I need somewhere to begin. If you have a minute, why don't we go talk about it somewhere?
Somewhere only